but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I'm on social media like everybody else, just about everybody else. And on Saturday, Stephen, I know you saw this too. This Oregon State game was interesting to me because I was looking to see, is Oregon State actually going to pull this thing out and win a football game for the first time in 329 days? And they did. The Beavers won the game. And then on social media, you, of course, see some nonsense going on, including fans that are on the concourse at Research Stadium, as KEZI reporter Olivia Cleary is reporting from Corvallis. For people who don't know, TV reporters in stations like Eugene often operate as a one-man band or a one-person band. And you've got a tripod, you've got a camera, you've got lighting, you've got a microphone, and you're doing the equivalent of a live shot on your own without a photographer there. And here's how it sounded for Olivia Cleary on Saturday night.
But football is, you can definitely tell there is a new play caller in town. The offense is looking, 1 second. The offense is looking a lot more versatile. They're getting their tight end in there with more reps. Still seem really characteristic with the running game, but definitely seen a lot more passes from Malik Murphy to Trent Walker. And I think even though the game is tied, the offense has looked entirely different. And we'll see how it goes through the second half of this game.
Help me.
Is this weird? No, we're lost. Stop. 22 years old, by the way.
22 years old and no doubt ingesting alcohol. Stephen, what'd you make of that? I was disappointed to see the fan behavior. It's not like the worst thing we've ever seen, but acting like an idiot while somebody else is trying to do their job is never fun.
Yeah, like not even funny in a little bit. Like that's the problem. It's like they're trying to be funny. It was not funny at all, and it was the stupid 6-7 thing, which I can't stand anymore because my kids do it 24 hours a day.
Can you explain that to people who don't know what 6-7 is?
As far as I understand, John, it started from a basketball player. He was doing a meme, and it's from a song. They say 6-7 in it, and it's a meme, and he just did 6-7. He started like shaking his hands up and down. And they've asked him about it, what it means. He said, it doesn't mean anything. And so it actually means literally nothing. And people have taken it and just run with it as a meme that they do a lot on TikTok and stuff. And so anytime someone puts those numbers together, they just say 6-7. And it's really annoying.
Everybody in the middle school or middle schoolers coming home saying that. And of course, they're on the concourse. But here to talk about it, Olivia Cleary. She is a reporter at KEZI, and she is joining us. Olivia, I got to give you some props. You had poise. You had composure. I don't know how you did it. I would have taking a swing at one of those guys with the microphone, but tell us what that was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing comments about where I set up. I set up on the concourse. You know, fan interaction is something that is valuable sometimes, so I wanted there to be some fans in the background just, you know, walking around doing whatever. I wasn't really expecting them to come up that close. It was fun at the beginning, and then it was like the couple guys hung around, and I was just like, what is going on right now?
As you're doing that, give us an idea of how that feels, because you can't really turn and be like, hey, guys, I'm trying to do a live shot, because you're actually in the middle of your live broadcast. And so you're trying to stay composed. Did you have a sense of what was going on behind you, or did you only realize it later?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty hard not to hear the 6-7 going on behind you.
Yeah.
But honestly, in those moments when I'm working or whenever I'm doing anything, I feel like I just have a very one-track mind. So I was like, okay, let me listen to Brett, who was in the studio talking, and let me hear what he's asking me and give the best answer I can. I mean, I grew up with a little brother, so I'm kind of used to people trying to distract me sometimes. So, but I guess it paid off.
Olivia Cleary, our guest, K-E-Z-I. You know, you get through it. Did you expect that this would be a viral moment and that, you know, it would be all over social media? Or at what point do you realize that people would be talking about it?
Oh, I didn't expect it all at all. Brett Taylor, our sports director, didn't expect it. He originally tweeted just saying, you know, it's unacceptable. Let local reporters do their jobs, and ended up posting the clip. And it was just a shot from our live, so it wasn't the actual broadcast. And you can really hear everybody in that one, but we didn't expect it to blow up or anything like that, just kind of bring awareness to what reporters go through. But everyone at my work's been really great about it. Brett's been great. My other bosses and coworkers, Matt Templeman, Mike Boring, Greg Hasser, they've all been super supportive about it and have been, yeah, just amazing and making sure I'm safe and everything like that.
Oregon State issued a statement saying, you know, look, this isn't what we expect. They said they would look into it, investigate it. Sounds to me like some of those guys have come out and apologized. Did you hear from some of those guys in the video?
Yeah, I did. I heard from the guy that was saying 6'7" and the one that was in the back saying, help me. They both reached out to me, which I really respected. They did it just individually. It wasn't like they posted something publicly. And it felt really sincere. It was good to hear from them. They were super genuine, took full accountability, which is always great. And yeah, there's no hard feelings there.
Look, what do you learn from this? Because, you know, there's some people who are saying, you know, this is, you know, she's being targeted because she's a woman. I don't hear you saying that. I think you're saying you got maybe targeted because you were a TV news reporter doing a broadcast.
Exactly. Like, you took the words out of my mouth. I don't feel like I was targeted because I was a woman. I mean, being a woman in sports definitely comes with its challenges, and I'm very aware of that. But I just hope conversations like this help move things forward in a positive way. And again, my supervisors and coworkers here lifted me up through this. A lot of them have similar stories sometimes. Just live TV is unpredictable, so you kind of have to be ready for everything. And they did a good job preparing me when I first started about how to go live, how to respond in those situations. And so I'm just very appreciative of them for that.
What do you do moving forward? Does it change the location you do it? Do you ask for a security guard when you go to do a live shot? You know, this is all teachable stuff, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, you've had these discussions with your news director, but how do you handle this moving forward?
Yeah, well, specifically for Oregon State, they've also been super amazing. They reached out to me and they said if I ever am doing a live shot again there, that'll let their security team know. And one of them will kind of stand with me and make sure nothing gets too crazy. So that's one thing I can do. Definitely probably a location sometimes further away from where they were serving alcohol. I wasn't really aware that that was like the hot spot where the students were coming over, getting their drinks, and then maybe going back. I just thought it was a good spot on the concourse that doesn't show the field, because when the game is going on, which it was like the end of the second quarter, we can't show the field. So it's like you got to kind of get creative with where your live shots are. So places on the concourse is really probably the best and only option, because again, you don't want to have a boring blank wall behind you. Usually you want to see kind of a little bit of the environment and what's going on.
Yeah, you got some environment in that live shot. I will give I will give you that. I appreciate the way you're handling it. You know, I've known you a long time. It's cool to see you blossoming as a reporter. And certainly I think the way that you have handled this, the poise you've had, the grace you've had with it is good. I don't think this is going to be a major news story. And in some weird way, I think it gives, you know, those kids in the background a chance to have a teachable moment. So there you go. I think mission accomplished. Some good came out of it. But I got to admit, Olivia, when I saw it, I just shook my head because I was like, you know, you've been in that situation. I've not been in that situation during a live broadcast, but I have been doing a radio show and people will come up to me and start yelling or want to argue, you know, and I commend what you did there, because I don't think I would have handled it that well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Olivia Cleary, there she is. You can find her at KEZI. Thanks, Olivia. Thanks for joining us also on Twitter as well. Steven, I'm glad the guys apologized. I don't think anybody needs to be arrested. I don't think anybody needs to be banned from the stadium. But I do like that Oregon State at least came out and said, we are investigating this. They're basically saying we don't condone this. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, no one needs to be expelled. No one needs to be arrested. Nothing like that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, they were trying to be funny. They were trying to become, you know, viral themselves, I think. And that's not illegal. Like, they didn't do anything illegal. But it is not a good look for them. It is not a good look for the school. It's not a good look for the program in general, especially when Oregon State's 0-7. Like, you want positivity coming out of your football program, and that is not going to help. So I'm with you. Like, I'm glad that they reached out to Olivia, and they did it in a way where it wasn't all over social media. Like she said, they reached out individually to her. I think that's great. Don't make a whole big scene of it where you write in your little notes and write an apology letter. I love that part. So, you know, I think you're right. I think it's a teachable moment. I think these kids probably learned and like looked at themselves in the mirror and thought, wow, we look horrible. We have no fans in our corner, and we need to do something about it. So I think ultimately, like you said, it's going to turn out good. It's going to be a positive. But, man, I was with you, man. When I saw it on Saturday, I thought, what in the world are people doing? Like, why do we think this is okay to just go up and
just go to somebody's job?
Yeah, and bother
and
them.
Start yelling at them. Try that. Try going into anybody's job and doing that.
Do you think there was a part of it because she is a woman that they felt it's okay, where if it was a man, they may not have done it? Because that did cross my mind a little bit. Like,
I think first of all, they see a TV camera and lights on. And I've seen this before. Everybody's seen this. There's a TV reporter doing a live shot on a street corner. People drive by and honk their horn. So they hang their head out the window and yell something. And I don't know what it is about a camera that makes people want to act like they're 12 years old, but sometimes it happens. So I think first and foremost, it was about that. I can't ignore, though, the idea that she's there alone. She's got to be like 22, 23 years old. She's right out of college at Oregon. And, you know, this is her first big job. She's at KZI. And I've known Olivia since she was, you know, like 10 or 12 years old. And I've known her because my daughter played volleyball. Olivia played volleyball. And you know, people may not know this, but Olivia Cleary is the daughter of, you know, Valerie Johnson, who used to be Valerie Cleary, who was the athletic director at Portland State. So this is, you know, somebody people in our region should know and respect and be proud of the fact that she grew up here and she's part of the fabric of the community here and she's got ties here and she's trying to make a job here and get some traction. But you also can't deny that TV stations these days with budget cuts, you know, they don't have a camera person there in Eugene to be with her on the scene. And in some cases, I've seen it happen in Portland where there's not a camera person there to kind of run interference. And I think it's a different dynamic if there's a 6'2", 240-pound camera guy standing with Olivia on the concourse who can kind of run interference. I'm not saying he's a bouncer, but she's defenseless when she's doing the live shot. Like, she can't stop and say, hey, guys, I'm trying to do a live shot. You know, they just see a camera and they think, oh, this is my 15 minutes.
That would have made it way worse had she said something.
Yes. She handled it right. I don't think I would have. She handled
it
right.
I know I wouldn't have.
I think, but I also don't want to make it a gender thing because I don't think she is. And so I don't think she was necessarily targeted, but I do think the guys, you know, it's not like they did anything dangerous.
No.
It's not like, you know, they were, you know, I don't think she felt threatened physically. I don't think she felt, you know, feared for her safety or anything like that. But I do think, like, you know, it being a 23-year-old woman who's trying to do the live shot and having a bunch of 23-year-old guys jump around in the background. I felt for 23-year-old women across the country when I saw those guys in the background. I was like, I worry about this generation of young men. Like, and where was the guy? There was one guy in the shot that I thought was going to step up, Steven, and turn to the other guys and go, hey, knock it off. Where was that guy? That's the thing that disappointed me the most as a man. If you want to make it about gender, was I would have hoped that if I had a son in that situation and a bunch of people were acting like idiots, I would have expected my kid to be the one who would go, hey, guys, let's knock it off. She's trying to do her job. Like, everybody knock it off.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, she's not making it about gender, and I think that's awesome, but there is always that uphill battle for any type of woman in sports. Like, whether you're a coach, athlete, reporter, whatever it is, there's always an uphill battle. So I don't know. I can't put it. It's not definitely 100% because the reason why, I think that's partially a reason why that they felt more comfortable going up and interrupting her. But like you said, lack of respect. That's all it was. It was such a lack of respect for anybody in that situation to do that to. So shout out to Olivia, the way she handled it, man. She killed it in that one.
Well, I thought she did well. I thought she helped herself. I want phone calls. Duck fans, Beaver fans, what did you make of the weekend? Oregon State fans, how are you feeling about the quarterback situation? Is it a controversy or is it clarity? And Oregon fans, how much credit do you give Oregon for playing well against a Rutgers team that isn't going anywhere meaningful? 503-417-7575. Phone lines are open now.